Inna alhamdulillah. Verily all praise is due to Allah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we ask Him to forgive us. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evils of our own selves and from the consequences of our bad deeds. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. And whoever He allows to stray can never be guided. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I openly testify that there is no one worthy of any type of worship other than Allah. وحده alone. لا شريك له. No partner does He have. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I testify that Muhammad was His servant and final messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. Amma ba'du, as for what follows this evening, then by the grace of Allah Ta'ala alone, He has allowed us to gather for our third sitting in explanation of Surah Al-Qamar from the tafsir of the great scholar Shaykh Al-Islam Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. Before we begin with this evening's reading, two important notes. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. The first important reminder is about haya, al-haya'u wa talab al-ilm, shyness. It's good that we have some new students with us. Shyness as it relates to the student of knowledge. A man was rebuking one of the companions who was known for his shyness. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the man who was rebuking him for being too shy, in his opinion, he said, "Da'hu, فإن الحياء لا يأتي إلا خيراً." Leave him alone, because shyness, it only leads to good things. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, that's in Bukhari and Muslim, Al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'un ash-shu'bah. Sittun in Bukhari, sab'un in Muslim, 70-some or 60-some branches. Iman has 60 or 70-some branches. A'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah. The highest of which is the statement, La ilaha illallah. None has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. Wa'adnaha imatatu al-adha an al-tariq. And the lowest of which is to remove a harm from the way of the walkway. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And الحياء, shyness, is a branch of faith. You could say here, modesty, shyness or modesty, right? So الحياء is iman. It's faith. It's a kind of manifestation of your faith, your iman as a Muslim, that you are shy. Some people misunderstand that when it comes to seeking knowledge. And it's very important that you understand shyness and its place as a student of knowledge. As a student of knowledge, you must be shy. But your shyness is not in what a lot of people think it is. If your teacher makes a mistake, right, you are not allowed to be shy. And that shyness leads you to remain quiet when you know better. And you can correct or remind or point the way to correcting that mistake. Because the religion of Allah is not to be polluted. It's not to be corrupted. Even with good intentions, an honest, sincere slip of the tongue, none of that is allowed to affect Allah's religion. Not from any person who reaches any status. Right? So, when you recognize a mistake from your teacher, or something that you think might be a mistake, you're not absolutely sure, you ask about it. If you're not sure, you ask for it to be clarified if you are confident that it is a mistake. And one of our brothers gave us a good example of that last week with the mention of the apple. The apple, I mentioned that Adam ate what? From the apple on the tree, right? Influenced by my upbringing in modern culture, that word slipped off of my tongue. However, in our Islam, in our religion, we have no way to specify the kind of fruit that Adam ate, right? And so, I'm very thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal, and very thankful to the brother who pointed that out, who's not here this week, so our dua for him is accepted because he's absent. May Allah bless him and increase him in goodness. It's an example of what our mashayikh taught us, that they, senior scholars, from the best of my scholars, Shaykh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, that when he made a mistake once and said something about قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على لسان ربه, the slip of the tongue, he was quoting a hadith Qudsi that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم quoted, attributing it to Allah, but he said on the tongue of Allah, and he mentioned the word tongue as an attribute of Allah, and it's he meant by tongue from the speech of Allah, not the actual tongue. However, Ahl Sunnah, we don't affirm a lisan. The word lisan, we don't affirm it, we don't reject it, we remain silent about it, we don't talk about that for Allah Azza wa Jal. So when he made this mistake, slip of the tongue, and it wasn't corrected in the majlis, it wasn't corrected at the time during that lesson, it was only brought to his attention later, he got angry with his students and reminded them it's not allowed to remain silent. There is no one who reaches a status where you don't, you know, notify him of an error that you know to be a clear error. This is the deen of Allah. This is the religion of Allah. This is how Allah is to be worshipped. We don't honor people above that. No one reaches a status where his honor is higher in rank than the purity of the religion of Islam. It doesn't happen. If you think that that happens, then you've misunderstood the obligation of keeping this religion pure, the tasfiyah and the tarbiyah that's required of every Muslim to keep the religion pure and to educate and cultivate upon that purity. Tayyib. So I wanted to reiterate that and bring you, as the first point, the reminder that the student of knowledge, some of the scholars say, al-mustahi, al-talib al-mustahi, la yata'allam. There is a student who has haya, has shyness. Yeah, maybe some of your brothers want to move up. There may be a few more people coming. Tayyib, a student who is shy will not actually learn. A student who is shy will not actually learn. And there's a beautiful hadith with regards to the women when one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him a question about women and the bath that is required after having an ejaculation in a wet dream. The women asked this question. And one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became upset, saying, "You've embarrassed the women by this question." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered it because the need was there for the ruling on that to be answered. Abdullah ibn Umar was in the gathering one time, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna min ash-shajarati shajaratun kadha." He started describing a tree as a quiz or a game with the Sahaba. There's a certain kind of tree. The leaves don't fall, and it's similar to the mu'min, similar to a believer. What kind of tree is that? And Abdullah ibn Umar knew the answer, but he was young, and he was shy to speak in the presence of his elders, and so he didn't say it. And nobody got it until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed them that it's the nakhla, it is the date palm tree. And so when Abdullah ibn Umar told his father that he knew the answer the whole time, and the only thing that stopped him from saying it was shyness in the presence of his elders, he said, "Wallahi, had you said that, it would have meant more to me than such and such," and he would have been extremely proud of his son for him to say that. Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought this hadith in a chapter in his Sahih, which indicates, I don't recall the exact wording, indicates the nature of shyness as it relates to seeking knowledge, that you shun the shyness that would prevent you from gaining benefit, prevent you from putting an issue that you need clarification out there on, to show your ignorance on an issue so you can have the issue explained to you. That kind of shyness is not iman, that you're afraid to ask about an issue because you would be embarrassed for people to know you don't know the answer on that issue, right? You need to know, but you're embarrassed. That's not iman, right? That can be arrogance. That can be a kind of arrogance. Not only not iman, but arrogance. Kibr, the opposite of iman, right? Too shy to correct a mistake because you respect your teacher? That's not iman. Now, the manners of how you would make the correction, that's all a discussion in and of itself. But to leave it because you respect your sheikh and you don't want to disturb your relationship with your sheikh and so on, then that is not iman either. Right? That's important for us to understand, that the shy one, the person who's too shy to ask for what he needs in talab al-ilm, it's not blameworthy to ask. You're not begging. You're not asking for dunya. You're, you know, getting your right from someone who's in a position to teach you. So you're not blameworthy for asking ever about something you need to know. And even if it's of a sexual nature, even if it's of a nature that you might be embarrassed about, you have to shun that. If it's related to halal and haram and what's wajib on you, what's obligatory and what's recommended and you need to know, then you must come forth and you must ask. You don't have to ask in front of everybody, but you can ask in a way that is appropriate. Tayyib, having said that, I want to read to you from the words of Al-Imam al-Tabari, who's the great scholar of tafsir, in what he said about the fruit of the tree, or the kind of tree that Adam ate from, just so there's total clarity in the issue. Al-Tabari said, and this is in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, with the first story of Adam, وَلَا عِلْمَ عِنْدَنَا أَيُّ شَجِرَةٍ كَانَتْ عَلَى التَّعْيِينَ. We have no knowledge of which kind of tree it was specifically, right? لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَضَعْ لِعِبَادِهِ دَلِيلًا عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Because Allah did not provide His servants with any evidence with regards to that thing, that specific kind of tree. فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَلَا فِي السُنَّةِ الصَّحِيحَةِ. Not in the Qur'an and not in the authentic sunnah. فَأَنَّا يَأْتِي ذَلِكَ. So where would such knowledge come from then? If it's not in the Qur'an, it's not in the authentic sunnah, where would it come from? وَقَدْ قِيلْ. And it's been said, huh? كَانَتْ شَجْرَةُ الْبُرْ. It was the vegetation of wheat. It wasn't a tree, but in Arabic, the word شَجْرَة, two basic meanings. Any vegetation in a more general and inclusive meaning, any vegetation, any plant, plant life in general, everything is a شَجْرَة, even a flower or anything, even garlic is the shajara. It's a bulb that grows. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man akala min hadhihi shajaratil khabitha, a thum, falyatazilna fi masjidina." Whoever eats from this filthy shajara, this filthy tree, what was it? Garlic. Does garlic grow in a tree like apples? No, it's a bulb. It grows under the ground. Is that right? Like an onion, something like that. Tayyib. So it's a shajara because it's vegetation. It's a vegetable. It's vegetation. What do you call it? Plant life. Let's just call it plant life. All plant life can be called a shajara under the broad meaning of the word shajara. So there we have wheat as a shajara. So it's been said that Adam was forbidden from eating the wheat from the wheat plants. وَقِيلْ كَانَتْ شَجَرَةَ الْعِنَبْ. And it's been said it was the vines of grapes. So another non-tree as a shajara, right? Not a tree, but rather vines or what do you call those things? Vines, right? Yes. Grapes are grown on vines. All right. وَقِيلْ كَانَتْ شَجْرَةُ التِّينِ. It was a fig tree, right? وَجَائِزًا تَكُونَ وَاحِدَةً مِنْهَا. It's possible that it was one of those types. But he says, وَذَلِكَ عِلْمٌ إِذَا عُلِمَ لَمْ يَنْفَعَ الْعَالِمَ بِهِ عِلْمُهُ. That's a kind of knowledge that if you were to know it, it wouldn't bring you any benefit at all. If you were to know it with certainty and precision and all, it wouldn't benefit you. وَإِنْ جَهِلَهُ جَاهِلٌ لَمْ يَضُرَّهُ جَهْلُهُ بِهِ. And if he were to remain ignorant of it, that ignorance would not harm him in any way. And he ended with that. And the manhaj, the methodology of Al-Imam Al-Tabari, was that he would bring the statements for every bit of tafsir that he felt was important. He would bring the statements of the tabi'een, the statements of the sahaba, any ahadith that were relevant, to explain the meaning, to support those positions. But here he brought nothing. He did not care to bring any chains to any of the Sahaba who said it was this kind of tree or that kind of tree. But notice that even amongst the three main positions that he mentioned, none of them are the apple tree. Right? Anyway, that's just to clarify that matter.